Just a verse in Lamentations, page 985 in this Bible. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12. It's a tiny little book just after Jeremiah. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, whom Jehovah hath afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. It's quite a question, isn't it? Is it nothing to you? I was thinking of how many people you could apply this to. There's so many, aren't there? You could take your own personal situation, your own life, money worries, trouble at work, sorrows in the family, things you'd like changed. Sometimes it seems as if absolutely nobody realises or appreciates it. It could be a personal thing like that. It could be a wife whose husband isn't pleasant. It could be a husband whose wife isn't pleasant. There's mistrust, there's jealousy, there's hate, there's hurt, there's years of it, there's bitterness. Maybe a wife at home could say this. Is it nothing to you, all that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Very personal scripture this. Could apply it to any one of us, I'm sure, in this room. We've all had sorrows. Our dear brother John mentioned about his wife in the reading. That's a sorrow. Maybe there's days when he feels like that. It's just a huge sorrow. It seems as if the whole world just walks on. As if nobody cares. I saw some pictures of, as we all have, of the tragedy in France. Of a husband standing by his wife's body. Of a dad standing by his son's body. And so on. There was story after story after story after story in that one street. And it was as if those people were saying, is there any sorrow like unto mine? That's my wife, that's my son, that's my child, that's my daughter, that's my husband, that's my uncle, that's my brother, that's my sister. Every one of them could have said this. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? On a slightly lighter note, I had a job yesterday in a golf club. Sounds lovely, but it wasn't. And I was told to go and meet Gary, the barman, to set up for work. I was just taking the oily rags, if you like. I was just taking the photographs. I wasn't part of the meal. I didn't even get food or a drink. I was nothing, just a worker. And all these people came in their posh clothes for a charity meal. And so I went up to this man, having parked the car. I said, are you Gary? And he said, and? So I kind of thought, we're off to a bad start. And it did, it sort of got worse and worse. He was, my family say I'm the grumpiest man, but I'm second place now. Because he was so grumpy and so rude. And I set up the camera and all the lights and things in the background. And I said to him, sorry, Gary, I know it's hot. And I know you're tired, but I just need a table to put the printer on. That was major drama. It really was. He was not happy at all at this. And I again apologised, and he eventually said, well, you'll have to follow me then. So, which I meekly did. And the sort of door slammed in my face, and I picked this table up and tried to haul it through double doors. And in one respect, it was, I could have said that. My sorrow, I'm here, I don't really want to be here. My sorrow, nobody cares, nobody worries. And you sort of have these pity parties, don't we, in life. But during the evening there was a break, and I thought I'd just go and bring Ginny. And I went out to the car. As I was going, there was Gary, sitting there, outside, with a glass of water. And so I didn't ring Jenny, I just sat beside him. I said, "Gary, are you all right?" And he said, "No." And he told me his story. "If there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, the sorrow he'd known in his life. In one respect, it was no wonder he was grumpy. And maybe I should still take the first place in being grumpy, because he had every reason to and I don't. Sorrow after sorrow. So we all have sorrows, we all have griefs, we all have burdens. You can look in the scriptures. It was Mary. She said to Jesus, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Everything's gone wrong. Do you not realise you're just passing by? Are you going to save other people and not care about me? Look at my sorrow. Look at me. If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And you failed." But Jesus never failed. Never once. And he went and he sorted the problem. He has the grace, he has the power, he has the love, he has the time, he had the compassion. More than that, he had the power to deal with the matter, and he dealt with it. You can read in Luke 10 of that man who descended from Jerusalem to Jericho. There were passers-by, were there not? People walking. And there was this person lying in a half-dead state. I suppose if he was in a half-dead state, he was calling out, "Help me. Please, someone, just give me a drink. Have you got any bandage, any plaster, any help?" In our day, we'd ask for an ambulance. I guess there weren't any buzzing up from Jerusalem to Jericho. I don't know. But his sorrow just completely captured his life. He was stuck. He was abandoned. He was left there. And then the very people that should have helped him. "There be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" They just did that, literally that. They passed by, it says, on the opposite side. And they left him. And then along comes a man on an animal of some kind, a beast. That's how you got around in those days. You didn't have new Skodas or rusty Hyundais. And this person changed everything, because he stopped and he got off his own beast and he gave that man that was lying in a half-dead state absolutely everything that he needed. He poured in. He didn't just say, "Right, there's a little bit for you, sorry, I've got to go on." He poured in the oil and the wine and he healed that man's wounds. And that man was restored. And more than that, that man was brought, it says, that person put this injured person on his own beast and he took him to the inn and he gave him, the innkeeper, some money and he said, "Look after him until I come back." You see, my dear friend, dear hearer, dear boy, dear girl, that man we call the Good Samaritan was on a journey. He was on a beast, he was travelling, he was moving, he was going somewhere. And he got off that beast and he put that man and he went to the inn because he had time to do so in love and compassion. If ever there was a neighbour, it was that man. And he took that person to the inn and he said, "On my coming back, on my return." Why? Where was he going? And who was he? He was on a journey, friend, to a place called Calvary. And he was on a place, going to that place called Calvary for you and for me. And he was going on to that place called Calvary for Gary, Grumpy Gary. He was going that way for everyone. And what a journey it was. The highest heights of glory down to Bethlehem. What a stoop that was. And on he went, and he met persons, and he healed, and he saved, and he loved. He was moved with compassion, and he dealt with the needs, he dealt with the lame, he dealt with the hurt and the injured. He did all that, but he still kept going. He set his face steadfastly. He set his face as a flint to go to Calvary out of love for you and for me. Well, it is a hot day. I don't want to be long. But is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? There was a moment when Jesus stopped walking. There was a moment when Jesus was nailed to a cross. When he gave himself to those persons. Yes, they roughly took him. Yes, they spat in his face. Yes, they mocked him and set him at naught and hurt and injured him in every possible way they could, yes. But there was a point where he gave himself and he laid down his life for you and for me at Calvary's cross. And what happened there? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? This congregation here, this group of persons, is it nothing to you personally? Might be brought up as a Christian in a Christian house. Dad and Mum think it's right to worship Jesus and love Jesus. Mum and Dad have told you the story of Jesus and his love. Mum and Dad have sung to you hymns and songs about Jesus. You come to church, you come to meeting, you have it in school assembly, all of that. But personally, is it anything to you that the Lord Jesus, that blessed, glorious man, stooped so low, walked this earth for you and for me, and at one point those footsteps stopped when his feet and his hands were nailed to that cross. And there he was in sorrow and in pain and in shame and humiliation, and he bore your sins and mine in his body on the tree. Is it anything to you? Is it just a story? Does it tick Dad and Mum's box if you just believe it and accept it and shrug on and jog on and go off? What actually does it mean that to you personally, that the Son of God came and gave his life? What does it mean? Is it anything? Is it something? Is there anything in your heart that just melts it a little bit? That glorious person gave himself for you and for me. I trust so. That's what God wants. He wants to claim your heart's affection for himself. And you know, it's not as if we want you to join young people. It's not as if we want you to join some club or group. It's not as if it's some trap, some sales trap, that we want you to become a Christian so that we get money or we get your life or we get your time or your energy. It's none of that. It's for you. This person, this glorious one, is the only answer to your need. The only answer. There's only one name given under heaven by which you must be saved. You must be. Oh, don't let the word go. Just open your heart to Jesus tonight. Is it nothing to you? Is your heart that black, that hard? There have been people like that. And you know, I just trust God. When there is a heart that is so hard and so dark, you can just read about Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Hate, hurt, bitterness. You could say the enemy had pretty well reached his breath. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against Christians. Hated them. Hated Jesus, this person. Absolute hatred and bitterness. But Jesus spoke to him. And Jesus brought him down to his knees. And Jesus changed his life. Completely. He was forgiven. His heart was opened. And on he went. Straightway he preached that Jesus was the Son of God. There was a time when that person on the cross meant nothing to Saul, but he became Paul, and the person on the cross became everything. Is it nothing to you, or ye that pass by? Well, don't walk on. I love these gospel preachings, not when I'm preaching, it's not the best, I know, but when there's peace. It says in the psalm, be still and know that I am God. And that's now. God uses these times when there's absolute peace, when you're all still, there's no iPads or Xboxes or phones or iPads. There's no business, there's no communication, purely from God to you. Be still and know that I am God. And I just want that for you, for every one of you, that you will just be still in this moment and know who is God, and that God came down in love and went to that cross and bore your sins. And if ever there's a scripture for Jesus, it was this one. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? There he was on that cross, humiliated, hurt in every possible way. His back was bleeding, a crown of thorns on his head, bruised, spat upon, even plucked the hair from his face, ridiculed, set at naught, every possible hateful thing you could think of was done to that blessed, glorious man. And there he was. And maybe he thought that. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? It says they did that. Said it in every gospel. I'm sure it does. Matthew 27, for instance. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads. Was it anything to them? You wonder. Some persons that have been healed, maybe a son or a brother or a cousin that had been healed by Jesus. Was it anything to them? They saw this glorious person secured there on that cross with nails. Was it anything to them to see his sorrow? And you know, friend, he was there not on his account, but for yours. You see, the sorrow that he endured and knew was yours. Because it says he's borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. And I told Grumpy Gary that. And I'm telling you now that that sorrow was... yes, it was his, because he made it his. But it was actually yours, because your sin, any sin, big or small, causes sorrow. Causes God sorrow, causes you sorrow, caused Jesus sorrow. But he suffered it, he endured it, he bore it. Do you know what? He buried it. He took it to the grave and he buried it. And it's no more if you and I simply put our faith and trust in his finished work and what he did at Calvary's cross. If you believe that happened for you, just lay hold of it. Just look to the cross tonight and see that man and make him your own. Not only did he give his life, his body, but he shed his precious blood. And that precious blood that flowed from his side has the power to cleanse you from every possible sin. Everyone, or all, the footnote says, as if there's any doubt, as if every doesn't cover, it says all. From all sin, or every sin, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. So, that's it. It's nothing to you or ye that pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, whom Jehovah hath afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. Not only was there the pain, not only was there the bloodshed, but in those hours of darkness, Jesus bore the fierce anger of God. He bore the condemnation against sin. He bore and he endured the severest judgment of God for you and for me, for those sins that you've committed. And he bore them as if they were his own, and yet he was sinless. Does that not touch your heart? Just that somebody went that way for you, and in bloodshed and agony hung there on that cross in sorrow, and it was all because of you. Oh, I just appeal to you that you just love him and be safe and saved for time and for eternity. We don't leave it there because, as we know, he went into the grave, we've said that, with those sins. They were born, and they were the judgment of God. He bore that too in absolute completeness. He bore the penalty for them, but he went into the grave. And the wonder of the story is he's risen. I remember going to a school assembly and about Easter time. There was a speaker there I was waiting to set up, as always seemed to be in my life. And there's just an assembly hall full of about 400 children. And the speaker was saying, "Does anybody know where Jesus is now? And he'd gone through the cross, he'd spoken about the blood, as we have done tonight." And he said, "Lift your hands if you know where Jesus is." And they all put their hands up. Oh, the front row of the reception class, all keen and desperate to answer. And he said, "Don't say anything, just leave your hands there, because that's where he is. Praise his name." Yes, that's where he is. He's in the glory, he's in the heaven. And he loves you from there. The same one that hung on that cross in sorrow and agony. It's the same one that loves you. And if you love him, he's coming for you. Isn't that a comfort? He's coming for all those who believe, but only those who believe. Don't be left. He's worthy of so much more from our lives, is he not? He gave his life for you and for me. Could we not give him something else? I was talking to a little lad on Friday, I think it was Friday night, I had to do a leavers ball for year six children, which is quite a funny affair really, and they all dress up and look quite amusing. And there's one little lad, and he just came quietly up to me, the others were away in another hall, and he said, "I'm really worried about leaving school." And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "You could ask God about it. You could just talk to him quietly. Talk to God." And he said, "Do you believe all that stuff?" And I said, "I do, 100%. He said, "But do you really believe all that?" And no, just the way he put it, and I said, "Well, I do. Most of the time, I trust God." And he said, "Well, that's not 100%, is it?" That's very true, isn't it? I speak for myself, I don't trust God all of the time. And we should trust him 100%. But just might you come, just take a look at Calvary's cross. And realise that there's one who's borne your griefs and carried your sorrows and died and shed his blood for you, and he's coming for you. If you put your faith and your trust in him, may you do so, for his name's sake. Amen.